broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was wondering what all was going on with the elections in Great Falls and in Cascade County. And here you have it, folks. Election deniers. The Cascade County Democrats are officially now becoming election deniers. They're so mad that they lost the Cascade County clerk and recorder's position during the recent elections. And apparently a lot of their people, we had heard when we've been discussing this library levy election in Great Falls, you know, one of the things that we've been hearing from the critics of that proposed library levy increase, not just that it would cost millions of dollars to local taxpayers, but that also that apparently the library board in Great Falls is pretty woke, and they don't want to go broke, so they want you to give them more of your money here. You know, they were promoting drag queen story hours targeting kids, which now technically should be illegal under the state law. They were putting these LGBTQ sexualized propaganda books in the children's sections to push this propaganda. But they want to go woke, but they don't want to go broke. So they want you to give them millions more of your dollars, right? But I had to check in. When is that election again? Apparently, the library mill levy election is June 6th. So really, that's coming up in under a week now, right? Because today's already Wednesday, May 31st. It's already going to be June tomorrow, if you can believe it here. But yeah, KRTV apparently reported that coming up tomorrow, they're going to have their test of the election equipment. They're going to do a public test of the election equipment. But yeah, there's a liberal blog that has a story here where two districts in Cascade County want their elections voided and conducted again in what marks the second lawsuit related to the May 2nd election. This is from a liberal blog known as the Daily Montanan. But we have seen consistently how the Democrats that have been pushed out of power in Great Falls and in Cascade County. You know, Great Falls used to be kind of a stronghold for the Democrat Party. You know, the old school blue collar labor union voters have now fully woken up. They haven't gone woke. They've woken up to the woke agenda. They've woken up to the fact that the Democratic Party is absolutely on the side of the elites and wants to shut down these blue collar union jobs, that they've been attacking our railroad industry. They've been attacking coal. They've been attacking oil. They've been attacking gas. And so a lot of those old school blue collar union voters have rejected the Democrat Party. In Great Falls in particular. So Democrats lost all these legislative races, but it really got them angry when they lost the elections, the elections administrator job in the clerk and recorder's office. So think about it. Isn't it just interesting that here's the Democrats in Great Falls. They had no problem with undermining election integrity measures, throwing out voter signature verification measures all across the country. They don't support the voter ID laws that Republicans support. But by golly, because they lost...
They're texting right now at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, we have a deal when it comes to the debt ceiling deadline, but why didn't House Republicans stick to the deal they just passed 1 month ago that appeared to have the support of the American people, even according to a CNN poll? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's part of what we talked about on Tuesday's show, including the fact that Target lost $10 billion in just 10 days.
In glass, my daddy knows best. Call Rocky Mountain Glass at 406-259-3426.
This is where Montana talks.
How come these people, even in the midst of this decline, even in the midst of the challenges facing in the country, even in the midst of a spy balloon hovering over your heads, you still, so many of you, cannot put your love of country over your hatred of Donald Trump? It begs the question, do some of these folks even love this country? Or have they been so taught over the years the anti-American garbage that they believe it and they want to change the country into something else? I'll tell you what, we're in very serious times, folks.
serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Always prepping, always preparing, always ready. Doing a show like this where we get some incredibly smart callers that call into the show from all across Montana, you got to be ready for everything here, getting ready for a show like this. Even if I only had 1 hour, I used to only have 1 hour on the radio back in the day, and I still had to do the same amount of show prep for that 1 hour that I would have to do even now for those of you who get this extra hour of Montana Talks, because you got to be ready for anything. Now, unless we're just going to do some infomercial show, or we just, you know, schedule a show with guests every day and don't really challenge anybody, don't really say anything, don't really throw your opinions out there. If we had a boring show like that, yeah, I guess I wouldn't have to do a lot of show prep. But no, I love the fact that we have some smart callers out there all across Montana. That's why we like keeping up the phone lines open. We've got the phone lines open for you right now, by the way, 406-294-0970. Because that's how we really get some great information, is not just what we bring to the table, but it's what you bring to the table. That's where we really get the great information and the good conversations going here. So, definitely give us a call. We've got the phone lines open for the full 8 o'clock hour today, which is nice to have this extra hour of Montana Talks for our friends in Great Falls and in Kalispell, for example, because coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with a last-minute addition to the lineup. We've got Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale joining us right at the start of the 9 o'clock hour of the show. He's going to join us for the first half. He's got a busy day today, but thankfully we've carved out a chunk of his schedule to join us right here on Montana Talks to talk about this debt ceiling deal. As we covered yesterday, Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale was one of the first Freedom Caucus conservatives in the House to come out swinging publicly. Actually, he was the first to come out swinging publicly against this debt ceiling deal. So we're going to get a chance to hear from him firsthand here in about 1 hour. In fact, it was great yesterday, John Jackson, when he was on the show, he said, man, wouldn't it be great if Congressman Rosendale came on the show and talked to us about why he is opposing this debt deal. And I said, yeah, it would be great. And so we reached out. Boom, he'll be with us here in about 1 hour. He was on yesterday on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto, and here's part of what they talked about on Cavuto's program yesterday.
Congressman, you don't like this. Why not?
No, there's too much spending in the bill, Neil. I mean, we're going to hear a bunch of technical language over the next few days about mandatory spending and non-defense discretionary spending. But at the end of the day, what the people of Montana care about, and quite frankly, the people across America, are we going to spend more money this year than next year than we spent this year? So, is the federal government going to spend more money next year? And quite frankly, this bill is going to do that. And everybody talks about compromise, Neil. We continually hear that. If we were going to have a compromise, then they should have taken the Limit, Save, and Grow Act that we sent over to the Senate 30 days ago, which had all these provisions built into it. And then the Senate could have amended that and sent it back to the House. And therein, we would have had a compromise. But they didn't. The Speaker went to the White House, and they developed a whole new plan, and they brought it back to us, and it does not reduce spending.
All right, so that was Congressman Rosendale on with Neil Cavuto yesterday, and he'll join us here in the next hour to talk it at more length. It was also interesting, if you listen to that full segment there with Congressman Rosendale from Montana's Eastern District in Congress on with Neil Cavuto, you could tell Cavuto was trying to get a news headline out of it. He was trying to press Rosendale. Okay, because you don't like this deal, does that mean you now want to call for a new Speaker of the House? Because you remember one of the deals they made last January in that ongoing Speaker battle was that just one member of Congress, just one member of the Republican House could say, that's it, we don't want this guy to be Speaker anymore, and they can have another vote. And it's interesting because, you know, Congressman Rosendale specifically did not say, did not criticize McCarthy. He criticized this deal, but he did not directly criticize McCarthy. And you're hearing something similar from the other Freedom Caucus conservatives as well. In fact, Jim Jordan out of Ohio, a Freedom Caucus co-founder, according to Politico's playbook, he told reporters that if they were going to oust McCarthy over the debt deal, that that is a, quote, terrible idea. Now, meanwhile, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich was on Hannity last night defending this deal, what he calls a Republican win.
Well, look, I think it's pretty straightforward. If you look at where we were going, which was the Biden position of no amendments of any kind, no negotiations, just keep raising the debt ceiling, keep going business as usual, and you look where over 100 days the House Republicans, who shocked the country by actually passing a bill that had real change, real reform, real cuts. And the truth is, we are not nearly as well off as we'd like to be because we didn't have a Republican president to negotiate with, but we're dramatically better off than we would have been if we just rolled over for Joe Biden. So the question, I think, for Republicans, and probably where Congressman Bishop and I have the deepest disagreement, is the consequence of a no vote. I believe, having done this, as you know, in my new book, A March to the Majority, where I explain how we spent 4 years negotiating with Bill Clinton, getting to the only 4 years of a balanced budget in your lifetime, we did it one step at a time. Well, this is the first step. Now, Republicans can decide it's a pretty reasonable first step, not everything they want, but it starts the game towards the balanced budget.
All right. Yeah, that was former Speaker Newt Gingrich. We'll get to your calls right after this.
Here is your Montana news. A Wolf Point man pled guilty to attempted carjacking and brandishing a firearm in a crime of violence. Yet his crime spree was much more. At the end of September 2022, Santana Cruz Ledoux stole a lady's car at gunpoint as she delivered lab samples to a clinic and pepper sprayed her. Color 8 reports that later in mid-October, Ledoux drove around Great Falls in a stolen truck from North Dakota, got into a fight and discharged a pistol outside a hotel, then had a hit-and-run accident fleeing the scene. He tried to ditch the truck and carjack another car, firing a round at the driver. After running out of gas and hitching a ride, Ledoux stole that vehicle at the arrival of police and led them on a high-speed chase, crashing into a ditch by Sims. A woman with him since Great Falls called 911, fearing for her safety.
1942 online at listwithamber.com. Listwithamber.com. Go there and you can start packing.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
How much are property taxes going up in Whitefish? Good night. Saw this from KJJR Radio, the Flathead's finest. KJJR Radio on Twitter. They shared a Daily Interlake story here. Property taxes in Whitefish are going up. Sounds like the city will increase property taxes in FY 2024 to make up for the rebate from the previous year, thanks to the resort tax income. Most property owners will see a 10% spike. Wow. Now think about it. A 10% spike in property taxes would be bad anywhere. But think about if your property taxes are based off of your property's value, and the property value in Whitefish is high enough as it is, that's even even worse. So, yeah, I saw that on Twitter. I was like, holy cow. I wish I owned property in Whitefish, but then again, I don't want that bill. So there's a bright side to everything here. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about. We've got a lot we can talk about. You know, Trump v. DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Iowa yesterday. And as Politico's playbook pointed out, Ron DeSantis starts throwing some uppercuts at Trump, and Trump has, of course, been taking his shots at Ron DeSantis as well, as 2024 is already heating up. We can talk about that. You got Liz Cheney gave a commencement address down in Colorado. I don't know if she makes it back to Wyoming much anymore. She was at Colorado College, the liberal, greeny, hippie college of Colorado College, and over half the students turned their backs on her during the commencement address. Now, the Associated Press won't tell you that news, but I guess that's why they call it fake news. The Cowboy State Daily did have that report. What do you want to talk about? Let's go to Bob in Billings. Bob, great to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, which my first question is, when did we vote on that? And the answer is we didn't. But the missing element that they are probably purposefully leaving off is unity. If they want to do diversity, equity, and inclusion, they also ought to do unity at the end. And I don't know if a lot of people know the phrase e pluribus unum, which means out of many, one. You know, it seems to be the Democrats' goal to do exactly the opposite. Out of one, fracture us into many. And, diversity can be taken to the extreme is not a good thing. You know, you're in the military, so how would you like to be in a platoon with 30 men that there was 15 different languages spoken? How effective would you be?
Well, as long as they still spoke English, but I'd love a platoon full of guys that could speak 30 other languages so that we could operate in multiple different countries. But as long as they all still spoke English so we could still function as a team or one common language, right? Yeah, good point.
Right. Yeah, so... And I think that's part of their strategy with the open borders, because there was a process for bringing immigrants in, and unity was formed by training them in what America is all about and the history of America and the philosophy behind it. And if they come in illegally, they never get that training. So they should, at least in my mind, take a pledge of allegiance or sign a pledge of allegiance to the United States of America.
Yeah, you talk about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is their big buzzwords. And I'm glad you mentioned e pluribus unum, and because you're exact that when you were talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how they want to split us apart in so many different ways, and how they don't want us to unite as Americans. How did Rush Limbaugh say it? Would he call him Alger? Or Alger or Al Gore? He would merge both names, the great Rush Limbaugh. Remember when he would talk about Al Gore, the former Democrat vice president who tried to run for president? Wasn't it Al Gore who was in the United States Senate and actually screwed it up and actually said, out of one come many? He was trying to give a speech on the floor, and he talked about e pluribus unum, and he said, oh, yeah, out of one come many. And it's like, no, actually, it's the opposite. Out of many come one. But that was kind of a Freudian slip by Alger or whoever the Democrat was that said it some 20 years ago, because that's exactly what they are doing right now. They are not focused on what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about, which was, you know, focusing on the content of someone's character rather than the color of their skin. They want you to be focused on the color of somebody's skin. They want you to be focused on gender identity, and they want you to be focused on everything that divides us rather than on what unites us.
That's right. So that's basically all I had. Let's remember unity, unity, unity.
That's right. Have you heard how Florida Governor Ron DeSantis defines DEI?
No.
He's got a great one for it. He said this a while back, but he used this line again here when he hit the campaign trail in Orlando. The Disney family out of Libby, Montana said he's got that right. He says DEI stands for this: discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination. I think that sums it up pretty well.
That sounds about right.
All right.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too, Bob. Thanks for the call. 406-294-0970, the number for you. We got the phone lines wide open right now. You can also message us on our Montana Talks app as well. Speaking of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former President Donald Trump, as I mentioned earlier, Political Playbook says DeSantis is throwing some uppercuts back at Trump.
Former President Trump's been tearing into fellow Republican Ron DeSantis, saying the Florida governor did a poor job at handling the pandemic. But now DeSantis is firing back.
He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me?
After putting in a campaign appearance in Iowa, DeSantis told reporters the former president needs to take a different tack.
I'm going to focus my fire on Biden. And I think he should do the same. He gives Biden a free pass.
The Republican contenders are both in Iowa today, with DeSantis making stops in Sioux City, Council Bluffs, and Cedar Rapids. Trump will be speaking to a Republican dinner. Then he's featured in a Fox News town hall Thursday. Jill Nato, Fox News.
All right. The other, there was a couple other sound bites that stood out to me from Governor DeSantis's campaign stops in Iowa yesterday. Of course, he was talking about the southern border, which, of course, I mean, that's Donald Trump's ace. Donald Trump, that's the ace in his poker hand, is what Donald Trump did to secure our southern border. And then we've seen the complete opposite, what has taken place with this invasion on our southern border, thanks to Joe Biden. But here's what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had to say about the border yesterday.
Our southern border has collapsed. The Mexican drug cartels have more control over what goes on at the border than our own United States government. Millions of illegal aliens have poured into this country, including criminal aliens and even individuals on the terrorist watch list.
All right. The other thing he talked about, and I think this was the point that he was really trying to hammer home, is that, hey, look, even as Trump takes shots at DeSantis, and even as DeSantis now fires back publicly, which DeSantis had resisted for several months, the focus has got to stay on Joe Biden and this train wreck in the White House.
Our great American comeback starts by sending Joe Biden back to his basement in Delaware.
All right. Yeah, so there you go. There's kind of the latest on the back and forth between former President Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Got a message on our Montana Talks app here. This came from Steve in Billings. Steve was talking about the debt ceiling deal and the raising of the debt ceiling. That, of course, will happen one way or another. I think we can all agree that the debt ceiling will unfortunately be increased one way or another. The question is, will we have the great limit, save, grow plan that House Republicans unified around and passed 1 month ago? Will it be this new debt deal that Speaker McCarthy announced over the weekend? Or will the Democrats get to do what they've always done, which is simply increase the debt ceiling? Stephen Billings says this: having to borrow money to pay our debts is like paying one credit card with another. If we aren't able to pay our debts with the money on hand or that we bring in, then we already have too much debt and we shouldn't be taking on any more. And that's exactly right, Steve. That's exactly why, look, no matter what happens in the next several days, so there may be a vote later today after it cleared the Rules Committee yesterday, whether we go back to limit and save grow, which is, I think, the preferred option for all of us, whether we get this new debt ceiling deal that was announced over the weekend, or whether the debt gets hiked, the Democrats get their way, and we do what we've always done, which is just raise the debt ceiling with no other strings attached, which is what the Democrats have always wanted and what the Democrats have always gotten, apparently until now. Either way, the real fight is in the appropriations process this fall. And that was something that Speaker Gingrich referred to in his remarks on Hannity last night as well. Frank in Evergreen, what's going on, Frank?
Hi. I've got a great story here. I personally corrected my list of personal pronouns. It's I'm getting a little echo here, but let me set my keys down. Maybe that's doing it. Anyway, I took a pair of scissors to this list. It was from a friend who said, he and her. I cut off the S on the first word, and then the last word is cut off the R, so my personal pronouns are he.
So you identify as just laughing at everything that's going on in the country right now,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
Well, I'm laughing at definitely weird Jane, you know, who I'm talking about, Hanoi Jane.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, Hanoi Jane. Man, we had some angry callers on her yesterday, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah. Hanoi Jane, her pronouns, I don't know what, would it be commie, Marxist? Instead of she, hers, she should put commie/Marxist on it.
Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA is extending the deadline for the Emergency Relief Program Phase 2 in the Pandemic Assistance Revenue Program to July 14th. The goal is to give producers more time to apply for the assistance. USDA's Farm Service Agency is partnering with 9 organizations to provide educational and technical assistance to ag producers and provide assistance in completing an ERP Phase 2 application. The groups include Farmers Legal Action Group, the North South Institute, Rural Coalition, and others. For more information on the 9 organizations and their contact information, go to fsa.usda.gov.
Western Ranch Brokers is an industry-leading Montana ranch and farm real estate company with deep and strong Montana roots and values. They know the gravel road shortcuts, the value of water, and the good neighbors keep tight fences. They're personable, dynamic, driven, and principled advisors that deliver the highest level of marketing strategies in the industry. When you're ready to pass on your ranch's ownership, their results speak for themselves. See the difference at WesternRanchBrokers.com.
Returning back this morning, nearly 81% of the state's spring wheat is planted, with 63% of the crop emerged. As for sugar beet production, 39% of the crop has been planted, and 56% of the winter wheat crop has joined it. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Wanting to help people and actually doing it are two different things. Your kid is helped when you pay off their credit card debt, but it may be even more helpful if you did not. Politics is obsessed with taking resources from some and giving them to others. If intentions were all that mattered, then there'd be no problem. But if you want better outcomes, you better focus on incentives. A child whose parents cover their excess spending has no incentive to stay within their means, just as a bank whose failures are offset by government bailouts has less incentive to manage their risk. We like to create laws that create bad incentives and then try to patch it up with rules that prohibit the bad behavior we incentivize. Maybe it's a law that makes water cheap, which encourages waste, with a pile of regulations that tell you you can't waste it. That's proved to be a fantasy. If the incentive is there, workarounds can and will be found. Fixing incentives is hard, but that's no excuse for not doing it. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Hey, we had John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. He joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. But this Tuesday, we thought, hey, what the heck? Let's keep him around for the statewide hour as well. All 2 hours of our conversations with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. You can listen to it on the Montana Talks podcast. Easiest way to access it is to download the app for your smartphone. In fact, not only do you get those 2 hours, all 4 hours every day on the Montana Talks podcast.